You ever been confronted with this? There's this item, you're going through the store or something, and you see something and you want to buy it, and there's an offer there, or maybe you get invited to somebody's house and they're selling something and they say, listen, this is it. This is the best deal. We got this great discount for you. If you don't buy it right now, you don't get it. In fact, if you wait, it'll be this price will be off. It'll be a different kind of price. And you feel that pressure to buy it. I mean, you said, well, I've kind of always wanted that. But, you know, if I don't get it right now, it'll never be $199 again. It'll be $270 next time. And it just looks like such a great deal. I think I really want it, but I'm not really sure I can afford it. But it's a special deal. What am I going to do? You ever been confronted with that? What do we do? Well, this pressure is not uncommon. Sometimes we buy things because they're on sale. We buy things because we get them for a bargain price. It looks like that's what we want. Well, this morning we want to take a look at the idea of buying wisely. We want to also look at the issue of borrowing. If we get to it, we'll go whatever we want to and ever how much interaction you want to have, and we'll do that. How should we as believers deal with these areas that confront us? Well, let's begin. Let me just remind you of our study. We're looking at all sort of things. We looked at the introduction of finances, what we're dealing with. We talked about stewardship. We talked about giving. We spent some time looking on the mistakes and the problems and all that dealing with finances. Then we looked at the budget. Why make a budget? We looked at the long-term and short-term aspect of it. We looked at organizing a budget. And then, in a sense, we talked about spending and saving. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit this morning, just briefly. And then we're into this idea of buying and borrowing. We're going to talk about principles in buying. We're going to talk about borrowing, whether it's right or wrong. We're going to talk about specific items like a car or a home or school loans or credit and credit cards. I think the issue that one of the things that many of us need to deal with is the whole idea of credit cards. How do you use them and should we use them and how, all that kind of thing. And we're going to look at all that in the weeks to come. There are so much practical things I think that can really help us. When we looked at the whole idea of a budget, we said, why would we do a budget? And three things. First, it helps you know where your money's going, where your priorities are, what you're doing. It actually helps you to spend less. It helps you get in control. That's what a budget does. The second thing is it helps you plan wisely with what God has given you. It helps you plan for the long term and the short term, the things that come due every month, the things that come due every 6 months, and then the things that you need to save for and those kind of things. The third thing that it does is it will give you the security and the peace of knowing that you're obeying God in this area. Plus, you're under control of your finances, even if you have debt. When you have a budget and you're taking control, even if you still owe a good bit of something, you are in control and you feel like I'm working toward a goal there. How do we make the budget? We talked about it. If you remember, I put this up. There are five or six big areas. There you must pay your taxes. You must give. You should save. You should provide for the needs of your family. You should pay your debts. And then after that, the miscellaneous part is all of the wants and desires. Now, what a lot of people do, the taxes are taken out automatically. We have so much debt and so much this that we don't ever save or give. And what I taught and what I think is the wisest thing that you can do is when you take your money, the taxes usually are already gone, you ought to give away of the first fruits, as the passage says in the Bible, and you ought to put yourself at the head of the line. You need to save some. Then provide for the needs of your family, pay all your debts. One of the goals is to have this debt part gone. No loans, no credit cards, no charge accounts. There we have much more money to go back right in here and right here. That's the goal. And we talked about that. Those areas need to be in a budget. And my advice to you is take what you get, immediately give some away, immediately save, and then live off the rest. And if you have such debt and the fact that it is, you can't even do that, then you've got to get in control that you pay your debt at least to the level that you can give and save and live. You've got to do that. So that's what we look at. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because one of the keys that we don't always think about is we're accountable to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, look at this. This is talking about our entire Christian lives, but I want you to see it. 2 Corinthians 5, 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may be recompensed for his deeds in his body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Literally, the word bad there means worthless. He says we're all going to appear before the judgment. The word bema means rewarding seat of Christ. You will stand before Jesus Christ to be rewarded. He says, for the things that we've done in this body, whether they be good or worthless, is what it says. If you live in the power of the Holy Spirit, live wisely and obey God, there's going to be blessing and rewards. If you live in the flesh, there's not going to be anything there. And so we're accountable. Romans chapter 14 says, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall give praise to God. Therefore, each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. It's going to happen. how we live, what we how we use what God has given to us. Now, remember when we talked about the budget, we said in all of life on a budget, there's really two areas, spending and saving. And in the spending, it's the taxes and the giving and the needs and the debt and all of that. And then there's the saving. And we save for particular reasons. We save for some long-term goals. We save for some things that are short-term. When we think of long-term, for many it's retirement and maybe school in the future or some inheritance that you want to give away or some special items that you want to buy. That's one of the reasons we save. We talked about this last time about retirement. And my advice... I know some of our men who are retired, but they've not quit doing things. There's a difference. I think if you look into the Bible, you will not find where it's expected for a person to get to a certain age and then not do anything. The only person in the Bible that's even mentioned to retire was the priest. They started at 25 and ended at age 50. Now, that didn't mean they stopped life. They went on and did other things. They just stopped their service at the temple area. I gave you this study last week, and I think it's incredible that when people retire at 65 and they don't do anything, 70% of those people die within the next 5 years. If at age 65, whether they retire or not, they keep on being active doing things, maybe doing part-time jobs, only 15% die in the next 5 years. That's an incredible 70% to 15%. Now, I gave this to you last week. I just want you to make sure you got it. How do we save? And this, not only does Larry Burkett hold to this, Ron Blue, and then on that outline or that bibliography that I gave you, almost every one of those people who write these books on finances and money and saving and budgeting and all that, they all come up with an idea of some type of plan saving. And let me give you sort of a five-step thing. Here's number one. The first thing you must do as you're going to save is you eliminate all credit card and consumer debt. Eliminate your debt. Now, they say, well, what about my house? Well, we're going to talk about a house later, but the debt you have on credit card, the average family in the United States has 4 credit cards and $12,000 debt, $3,000 on each card. That's average. There's some with much more than that. So you realize the average family in the United States, every month, they owe $12,000 that they're not paying off. They're paying the interest on a credit card, sometimes as low as 4 to 5%, sometimes as high as 18 to 22%. They're doing that every month. Every month. He says, eliminate those kind of debts. Get that debt out. That's number one. Number two, set aside 1 month living expenses in a checking account or some account. In other words, if all of a sudden something happens, you've got at least 1 month of money that could take you or actually could use if you have some type of emergency. Here's level three. He says, after you get that done, then set aside 3 to 6 months in some type of money market or interest-bearing account so that you can borrow from yourself if something goes wrong. You've got this money in an account somewhere, and if something goes wrong, you can pull it out. If your air conditioning unit goes completely out and it's $1,500, you go borrow from yourself, not borrowing from the bank. You take it out of your account that you've been saving, and you have from 3 to 6 months. Salary or living expenses there. He says the fourth thing that you set up is an interest-bearing account in which you're putting money in for long-range purchases such as a car or such as the down payment or even a house. Not just the down payment on a house, but for a house. And we'll talk about that. Larry Burkett sent a thing in his most recent newsletter which shows you something about buying a house which is incredible. Anybody could do it if they would do it, but most people won't do it. And I want to show it to you. It'll be a couple of weeks when we get to buying a house. I want to show you something which will amaze you. You'll look at it and you'll go, I can't believe that. You mean you can do that? Answer is yes. Yes, you can. And then number five level is take the other money if you've got all these other things set up and you can invest it any way you want to. And for most of us, you get to level five, you go, I don't know how to invest anything. I got to have somebody show me what to do. But you know, you got to get all the debt out first and get the living thing and then the 3 to 6 month thing and then all the savings for the cars and those other things. Then before you ever get to that. Here's the truth. If we save some every time, not only will we be wise, but we will take care of our families and we'll be able to take care of ourselves when unexpected expenses come. You've heard me say this over and over. Take your money. Save some, give some, live off the rest. And you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. I gave this quote last week. It is the truth. If you save $25 a month for 40 years, it's $1.2 million. $25 a month. And let me tell you this, and I mentioned it last week. Nobody ever told me any of these things when I was a young man. When I was 23 years old and I started coaching at Mississippi State, not one person ever said to me, do you know how to save any money or handle anything or those kind of things? Nobody told me that. My mother and daddy were great, great people. But they had a lot of debt. And what they would do, I now look back and realize what they would do. And this is before you had all the credit cards, but a lot of stores. At Christmas time, my mother and daddy would go buy us Christmas presents and charge them and then spend the next 6 or 7 months paying them off. And then Christmas again, they go and charge them because they're not going to let us go without big Christmases. I look back now and realize this is what my mother and daddy did. They probably had much other debt that I don't even know about. I mean, as they went through their lives. Take charge of what you have. So we can use it wisely. We can gain control of what we have. And instead, we can gain control of what we have instead of what we have controlling us. That's the key. Now, that's the budgeting thing. Let's start thinking about buying and borrowing. And we want to be wise in that area too, because we all buy all the time. And many of us borrow. One thing we have to realize about buying, no matter what you buy, you're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to be satisfied. It doesn't matter what it is. Let me tell you, you will never be satisfied. Just go ahead and put that in your brain now. Even if you're young, no matter what you get, it will never satisfy you. I don't care what it is. You say, if I could just get a new suit, you know, one that looks good, fits right, I'll be satisfied. You get a new suit, 6 months later, you go, you know, I wish I had a new suit. You get that car, you say, if I could just get that car that's got all those little buttons and stuff and everything, it's just so neat, all the gadgets. 6 months later, there are more gadgets on another car that you say, well, you know, mine doesn't have that kind of tape player. Mine doesn't have that CD deal that has all that other stuff. Nothing will ever satisfy you. Just remember that. Ecclesiastes talks about it. You'll never be satisfied. So if you put any stock in things, you will never be satisfied in your life. Relationships will satisfy. Your relationship with Jesus Christ and your relationship and your family and friends. Those what bring satisfaction. Things will never satisfy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 9 and 10 says that those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and foolish and harmful desires. For the love of money is the root of all sort of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith. Look, we want stuff. That's natural. But just remember, stuff is never going to satisfy you. And some of the stuff we think we need, we really don't need. Some of the stuff we really want, it's just going to put stuff there that you're going to have to move out of the way to put more stuff. And that's true. What garage sales. Garage sales are the things that 4 years before people could not live without. And now they're going for 25 cents. It's the way it is. You say, I wanted that. I wanted it so bad. I'm going to tell you something. I wanted... When I started coaching, a dream that I had was to have a bowl watch. You know, when you go and your team goes to a bowl, they give you watches. That was my dream. I wanted a bowl watch. And sure enough, at Mississippi State, we went. We won the Sun Bowl. We all got watches. Did you know, I don't even know where it is. There was a time that the most important, I got that watch and I'd say, anybody want to know what time it is? You know, I want everybody to see this watch. Right? I don't even know where it is. I mean, if I found it right now, I'd go, there's that. Oh, that was a great watch. That meant a lot to me. I don't even know where it is in my house right now. Things that we think we gotta have, sometimes they're never satisfied. Because, you know, if you get one bowl watch, you know what you want? You want another one. Because you want to go every year and get another watch. That's what you want. Let me give you some general rules to follow in buying, okay? Because we all buy. Number one, don't buy it unless it's in your budget. Now, that goes to the fact that you got to have a budget. You got to have set up categories and things that you're going to buy. Here's your food, here's your electric, gas, telephone, here's your car, here's the... You've got to have that. And when you get ready to go buy, if you don't have that budgeted out, you shouldn't buy it because you don't have the money to buy it. It's not budgeted anywhere. How are you going to pay for it? That's the question. So, don't buy unless it's on your budget. Because see, if you do, what you're actually doing is borrowing. You're borrowing to buy something. This is why a budget helps you so much, because you know what you got. Second, never buy on the spur of the moment. Oh, there it is. That's how I wanted it. Make a wise purchase. It doesn't usually happen on the spur of the moment. You need to sometimes examine things, check things out, call Consumer Report. I mean, you know, get Consumer Report magazine, go to the library, do something, figure out before you buy something, especially a big item, what's the best one? What's the best thing? Don't buy on the spur. Men are dangerous at buying on the spur of the moment. Men are dangerous. And let me tell you what men do. This is a whole, and this is what Larry Burkett teaches, and I've watched it in a lot of lives, that when men get in money trouble, they usually go out and buy something big. Because in their own mind, they're in money trouble, but I'm going to go buy this boat or I'm going to go buy this new car because it shows I'm still okay. And the wife's at home and he drives up with his car, the car payment of $500 a month. And she says, how are we going to pay for it, honey? You know, we got this deal, so we can't even do this now. Well, I just think it was very important that we have this car right now because I think that we need this. You know, that's the way men are. So men got to be especially careful on the spur of the moment. We buy big things. Now, women may buy something on the spur of the moment, but they don't usually buy big things like we do. We have to be careful. The third one is never be pressured to buy something. If somebody says, if you don't buy it today, it's all over, say, well, I missed it. Because I can't make that decision that quickly. I'm going to tell the story. Jeannie and I, we're fixing to have Catherine. I mean, the baby's coming, I think, what was it, 6 or 3 months? It wasn't very long. And these people invited us over to their house for this cooking pans. The kind that you don't use water or anything. I mean, and Gene and I said, you know, those are pretty nice cooking pans. Yeah, they would be great to have something. And they all this advantage of how great they are. And they serve you this meal. And then the guy looks right at you and says, listen, tonight and tonight only, I will sell these cooking pans for this. Now, if you can't get it tonight, the cooking pans, again, is like $100 more for these pans. And we looked at each other and we said, you know, I mean, you know, one of these days we probably want to get these cooking pans. And it's probably, you know, this. We walked outside. I mean, we said, do we have the checkbook in the car? I said, I have the checkbook in the car. If we want to get those cooking pans, we can get those cooking pans. And we looked at each other, and then we finally thought, wait a minute. This guy, you know, it's the last shot at these things. And then we said, we may just miss it. We went back and said, we don't want to get them. We got home, and we got in the bed. We both looked at each other and said, you know, we got a baby coming in 3 months, and we're thinking about buying $300 or $400 worth of cooking pans? Because it sounded like such a good deal. Don't let people pressure you into buying something that if it's the last of the chance for it, just say, then I'm going to miss it. I'm going to guarantee you, if you got it that time, you can get it another time if you got to have it. It's going to come back around, and it'll probably be cheaper. Things go down. Number four on buying. Buy quality. There's a difference between being cheap and inexpensive. Buy quality, and there are times that you can buy. Let me tell you, at a certain time, these certain summer shirts, they're really expensive. But right toward the middle or the last part of the summer, they all go on sale for half price because they're fixing to come out with all their fall stuff that's going to be really expensive. And if you want that shirt, just wait about halfway through the summer, and you can get it for half what you would have paid for it back in the spring. And just wear it next year or the rest of the summer. But see, what happens is we don't want to wait. Let me tell you, buy quality. They last a long time. There was this clothing store in Starkville, Mississippi. It's called George Sherman. And they had shirts, and they were fairly expensive, but they were good shirts. And there were some shirts that I bought in 1973 that I was still wearing when I graduated from Dallas Seminary in 1985. Same shirts. When you buy something that's pretty good and take care of it, it lasts. You buy something cheap, you know, all of a sudden the collar's broke, you know, it's gone. You go, what happened? I wore it 1 year. It cost me half price of the other one, but I wore it 1 year. With the other, I wear it 13, 14 years. So buy quality items. Number five, never buy if you don't have the money. It's called surety, which means you don't have a guaranteed way to repay it. You go into Walmart, everybody goes into Walmart, and you see what you want, and you see something, and it's this lawnmower, and you said, you know, I've been needing a lawnmower. Or it's this item, and it's $72, and you say, I've been needing it. I need that to put in the car for the trip. That's one of those things, got flashlight and all this other stuff. I want that. But I don't have the money. I haven't planned for that. That's not in my budget. I haven't saved for that. But I'm going to buy it because I'm going to put it on my credit card, and by the time the bill comes in, I'll come up with the money. That's called surety. You don't have a guaranteed rate to repay that because you don't have the money. So be very careful. Don't buy if you don't have the money. What you're really doing is borrowing, of course. Now, think about it. Whenever you buy something, you have three options. Number one, you can buy it because you have it in your budget. Number two, you can buy it because either save for it and then buy it, or because you have already saved, you can buy it. Or number three, you can borrow the money to buy it. People don't realize it. Credit cards are actually borrowing cards. You borrow money. If you pay the bill off every month, you're not really borrowing. But what happens on most people is they don't do that. And they get themselves in trouble. Well, speaking of borrowing, let's talk about borrowing for a second. Is it right or wrong? I've had some people say it is wrong. You should never borrow. I've had people in different churches that I've known throughout my life that whenever they get ready to do something like add on a building or do something, there are some people who say you should never borrow ever, ever in your life. And you say, you mean, and they'll say the church should never borrow. And then you look at them and say, do you ever borrow? And they say, well, sure. Church can't borrow, but people can. And then there's some who say borrowing's fine, some not saying, well, what is it? What does the Bible say? Do you know nowhere does the scripture say that it's wrong to borrow? It doesn't say that. Never says that. What the Bible does imply is that it's not always the wise thing to do. Because there's a great truth about borrowing. When you borrow, you will pay more for what the item costs. Always. Whenever you borrow. What makes borrowing negative? Let me give you... And I should have put this up a while ago. Here's those principles right there. Don't buy unless it's in your budget. I forgot about having that. Well, never mind. Okay, here. Now, reasons not to borrow. Let's talk about it, okay? Now, people borrow all the time. I borrow. I borrowed from my house. But we're going to talk about it. Number one, here's a reason not to borrow. It costs more for the item. It will cost more for the item. Let me tell you this. You have a car. You want to get this car, and you're going to borrow $10,000. To buy the car. How much do you pay for that car? $10,000, 5 years, right at $13,651. You pay almost $4,000 more for the car. See, when you borrow $10,000, you pay back almost $14,000. Almost. It's according to the interest rate, goes up and down. You're going to pay more. If you borrow on a house, which most do, but think about this. If you borrowed only $50,000 for a house over 30 years at a normal interest rate, how much do you pay back? Do you know? How much do you pay for that house? At least three times. Sometimes in some percentages it's $185,000. You borrow $50,000 but pay back $185,000. Or you borrow $50,000 and pay back $150,000. The first time I ever borrowed money to buy a house, I looked down at that figure and the girl said, don't look at it, it'll make you sick to your stomach. I said, I think I am. I refinanced my house just a while ago, about 2 months ago. And when I refinanced it, the lady said, guess what, you just saved $78,000 on interest. I didn't throw up on that one. I saw an ad for the workout machine at one of those Bowflex things, you know. And you know what it said? $945. Or the best way to buy it, of course, is only $29 a month for 39 months. That's $1,131. That's $200 more to borrow for the same machine. Look what I got in the mail. I just got this in the mail just a couple weeks ago. Norwest Mortgage. My mortgage company is Norwest. It said, guess what, JB? You can have a cash voucher, $801.22. Wow. Now, this is a note, by the way. This note is repayable in 24 payments at just monthly installment of only $40 a month. If you need $800 to buy something, it'll only cost you $40 a month. Really? amount financed is $801.22, but the interest is going to be $116.61, and then they charge you $42 for the loan origination charge, and then there's a finance charge of $158. The total payment's $960. I borrowed $801, but I pay back $960. They don't tell you that. It's all in little writing. This is big writing here, $801.22. And there are people saying, we could get $800 to buy that workout machine that we want so bad. But I'm going to pay back $900 and something. How about those commercials? Hey, we'll give you 120% of your home equity. You are putting your house up. You're going to lose your house. You think they're stupid? They're going to loan you 120-something percent of your house? You think there's some way that they're not going to come out ahead on this thing? They're not in the business of just giving out money to people to make them happy. That's their deal. People don't make these payments, they lose their houses. You're mortgaging your house to somebody else. So you can consolidate. What's the thing? So you can consolidate all your other credit card bills and everything that you can't pay. So in one lump sum. It may make it lower for a little while, but people get right back in the worst shape. So be careful. When you borrow, it will cost you more. Second thing, you're always a slave to the lender. Slave to the lender. Every month, you must take some of your income and you are required to give it to these people. You are required. And let me tell you, you know what happens if you don't make those payments? They come get your stuff. And it's their stuff. You don't make your payments on your car, it's not your car. You're a slave. Jacob Broud said this. He says, you know, running into debt is not too bad. It's running into the creditors that really hurts. And that's true. Larry Burkett said that much of our debt exists because it seems faster and simpler to borrow than to save. See, on this first one, it costs you more. And what happens is, we don't want to wait to save for it. Something costs $120. And we don't want to save $40 a month for 3 months. We want to go borrow $120 and pay back $165. Because we say, I'm not going to wait 3 months to save for this. We become slaves to the lender. The third one is the first or second bell already rang? First bell has hit it. Or has it? I mean, we're so interested in this, we hadn't heard a bell at all. I haven't. Okay, sin. It's sin if not repaid. Do you realize that if you borrow and don't repay, it's wrong? The wicked borrow and do not repay. That's what the scripture says. Proverbs. We live in a world. What was it? I read this the other day that there are. I hope I've got the right. I can't remember the figure, y'all. I thought it was 1.5 million personal bankruptcies. And I can't remember whether it was monthly or every 6 months in the United States. We're not talking about businesses starting up and going into trouble. We're talking about families who are filing bankruptcy because they can't pay. That was almost unheard of 30 years ago. And now people say, well, just take bankruptcy because you got 7 years so you can do this and do this and do this and then you can do what you want to do. And the wicked borrow and do not repay. The fourth one is you presume on the future. What does James say? James says, don't say, I'm going to this city, I'm going to make this amount of money, I'm going to stay there for this many days and then I'm coming back. He says, you don't know, your life is just a vapor, you don't know what's going to happen. What you should say, if the Lord wills, I will go to this city, I will stay so many days and I will come back. You presume on the future sometimes when we borrow, if we're not careful. He says this, be very careful because if we as believers, think that being able to afford something means that we're able to make the payments rather than paying cash, we have misunderstood how dangerous debt is. See, there's a lot of people who say, I don't care how much it costs. What are the monthly payments? Let me see if I can make the payment. You got trouble if you're just worried about whether you can make a payment or not. You presume on the future. Deny the opportunity for God to provide. Sometimes when we borrow, and I'm not saying borrowing is wrong. Remember this, I'm just giving you some negatives on why not to borrow. It's going to cost more. You become a slave. It's wrong if you don't repay it. You presume on the future. You deny the opportunity for God to provide. I want to say this in a nice way, but I think historically, if some people that I've known come through our church going through school, that they have borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed and borrowed to go to school, sometimes never even taken into consideration that God might somehow provide another way without them going into $15,000, $20,000, $40,000 debt. By the grace of God, I went to Dallas Seminary. I went in with no money. I came out with no money. I never borrowed a penny. And I want you to know that I've told you this story before, but on that last semester, and it's about, back in those days, it's about $2,000 just for the tuition per semester. And I, by saving, people giving everything, I had everything but $600. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to my very last semester at Dallas, and I got to finish. And if I don't come up with the money somehow, I got to borrow $600. Man, we're a guy with an income of $450 a month. Borrowing $600 is a lot. And I remember going into Faith Covenant Church, flying in on the weekends. I flew in and I walked in and Ken Shepherd, a lot of you know him. He said, come on in the office. I said, what's going on? He said, hey, how you doing on school? I said, well, I like $600 and I'm there. He said, look. A lady by the name of Linda White came in that morning and said, I don't know. I know JB's got one more semester to go. I don't know if he's got all his money, but I'd like to just give him $600. Sometimes we deny. Let me give you the last one because the bell rang and we'll hit back on these again. It limits the future. It can limit what we want to do. Remember we said that how we spend and buy now can affect us in the future, and sometimes it will affect what we want to do because of debt. We're not able to do something because we got so much debt. We're not able to give. There are some probably in our church that would like to give to raise the money to build those two roads and pay off all our debt, but they can't give at all because they are so maxed out with their debt that they can't give to something they'd like to give to. It limits the future, so we have to be real careful. Okay, let me stop. Any questions, comments? Yeah.
Never buy anything that we're not actively searching for until we've looked at it twice on different occasions.
That is a great idea. There, in fact, some of the books that I read, that's a super idea. He says we never buy anything unless we're actively searching for it. We've already looked at it once, maybe come back, looked at it again, possibly even looked at consumer reports and all those kind of things, seeing what is the best deal. And because a lot of times you say, I want that. Okay, I'm going to check it out. 2 weeks later, you don't want it anymore. You thought you did, but you don't. We thought those cooking things were great. But let me tell you, by that night, we said, they're not that great. Not with his baby coming. And so we didn't want them anymore. And so you're right, that's a wise thing to do. Yeah, Dennis. Larry Brickard has a monthly newsletter, and I think it's free. I think you can contribute to it if you want to. I think for people who don't have the money, he just says free. If you do have money, he says send some money in to keep the thing going. It's really good. He always deals with some biblical principles, and he always deals with some things about the economy and those kind of things. It's a good newsletter. I can get the address for you if anybody's interested in it. Okay. Anything else? Okay, we got a lot more stuff to do, especially we're going to talk in the next couple of weeks, how do you buy a car? How can you buy a car without borrowing money? And we're going to talk about a house and how to get your house paid off in 15 years. If you got a 30-year note, we'll show you some ways and those kind of things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to talk about these things. Thank you, Lord. We want to use wisely what you've given us. We want to be able to take the things you have for us and to give and to save and to use wisely and to have a great time. Lord, thank you that you're a great God and that you are what brings satisfaction. And Lord, we know that things will never bring satisfaction, but our relationship and our fellowship with you, that's where we bring satisfaction. Lord, thank you for this class. I love being in here, Lord, and help us as we study through these things. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks.